This podcast is presented by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, Safer, Healthier People.
Welcome to A Cup of Health with CDC, a weekly broadcast of the MMWR, the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. I'm your host, Matthew Reynolds. Each summer brings picnics, barbecues, and unfortunately, the possibility of mosquito-borne West Nile virus. Today, I'm talking with Jennifer Lehman, an epidemiologist with CDC who's joining me by phone from CDC's Fort Collins facility in Colorado. She's going to explain West Nile virus and how to avoid infection. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thanks, Matthew. It's good to be here.
What is West Nile virus and how is it spread?
Well, West Nile virus is an arbovirus that is spread from mosquitoes, and it has moved westward from 1999 to present, and it's now considered endemic throughout the U.S., which means that it's pretty much here to stay. All of our 48 mainland states have actually had human cases except for Maine.
What are the symptoms of a West Nile virus infection?
Well, the symptoms depend on the severity of the cases. So if you have a severe case, otherwise known as West Nile encephalitis or meningitis, the symptoms can include headache, a high fever, stiff neck. Maybe you might even be disoriented. You could go into a coma, have tremors, convulsions, maybe even paralysis. Then you can have West Nile fever, and it's estimated that about 20% of people who become infected with West Nile will develop West Nile fever. And those symptoms include fever, headache, tiredness, maybe some body aches. Some people have reported a skin rash and maybe even swollen lymph glands. But most people who are infected with West Nile virus will not develop any type of illness. But you cannot know ahead of time, you know, if you're going to get sick or not when you're infected. And these people are called asymptomatic, which just means you don't have any symptoms.
For the people that do have symptoms, can those people seek treatment? Can this disease be treated?
You know, there isn't really a specific treatment for West Nile virus infection. In the more severe cases, sometimes they involve hospitalization, IV fluids, maybe even being put on a ventilator, and even good nursing care.
Well, it sounds then that prevention is the best strategy for West Nile virus.
Correct.
So what can people do to protect themselves?
The most important thing to do is for people to avoid the mosquito bites. You know, you can use an effective insect repellent, such as some products that contain DEET or picaridin or even oil of lemon eucalyptus. You know, you want to put this on when you go outdoors. You can wear long pants or you can wear long sleeves for additional protection, but the mosquitoes that spread West Nile virus are most likely to bite from dusk to dawn, so you should be either using mosquito repellent then or limit your time outdoors during those hours. You can empty any standing water around your home, and you can also support your community-based mosquito management program in your area.
So what should I do if I'm out hiking or at the family barbecue and I find a mosquito that's attached to my arm? Should I be concerned? Should I see a doctor or wait for symptoms to develop and hope for the best?
Kill the mosquito first. But usually it takes 2 to 15 days for symptoms to occur. So, you know, I would wait for your symptoms to occur. I wouldn't necessarily go see a doctor. But if you or your family members, you know, develop symptoms such as high fever, confusion or muscle weakness, or even severe headaches, then you should see your doctor or healthcare provider immediately.
A number of people are probably wondering, too, is this a disease that can affect my pets or if I own livestock, are they at risk, too?
Actually, unvaccinated horses are at risk, but other household pets and livestock can become infected. We've actually had a very small number of dogs and cats that have been reported to CDC that have had West Nile. It's mainly a cycle between birds and mosquitoes, and actually initially illness and fatality in horses was a big concern, but now there's a vaccine available for your horses, so you should make sure you vaccinate your horses if you have them.
Any precautions that people should take for pets?
You know, I would bring them indoors, especially if they're going to be spraying. Keep, you know, your windows closed, keep them indoors. But otherwise, they're pretty immune to getting the virus, so you should be okay with just doing what you normally do with your pets.
Jennifer, thanks for taking the time to share this information with our listeners today.
No problem. It was great to be here.
Well, that's it for this week's show. Don't forget to join us next week. Until then, be well. This is Matthew Reynolds for A Cup of Health with CDC.
To access the most accurate and relevant health information that affects you, your family, and your community, please visit www.cdc.gov.